Good morning. In Kenya, we say jambo. And if I say jambo, then you say jambo. Jambo. Jambo means hello. So it's a very simple way of greeting one another in the streets. Just say jambo, jambo. I bring you greetings from my wife and my family over 10,000 miles away. Very, very far. And I'm so honored to stand before you, before the leadership of the church, before the pastors. Thank you very much. God bless you. Just one or two things before we look into the Word of God. Somebody asked me a question. Is Kenya in Nairobi? And I told him, no, Nairobi is in Kenya. It's a country of about 40 million in population, with about 42 languages or thereabout. We attain our independence from British rule about 45 years ago, and up on the north we have our neighbors, Somali, Ethiopia. On the far west, northwest, we have Sudan, and then on the west, we have Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi. And southwest, we have Congo, and on the south, we have Tanzania. On the north, we have north and east of Kenya. We have a threat, big threat of Islam, because the Islam, the Muslim, the Arabs came over in the 1500s on the east from Yemen, from Saudi Arabia and other parts. And then they settled on the east, they settled on the Horn of Africa, and as a result of that, Islam spread. So the threat of Islam is quite big in our country. On the north of Nairobi, about 400 miles, there are places where you can be killed for just carrying a Bible. Live about sharing about Christ. And the only approach to these people is by maybe bringing in social gospel, like building a school, you know, sinking a water well, and then out of that you can be able to communicate. And even whenever they receive the Lord, it's a big threat. I have a friend of mine, he's now a pastor. He grew up in a Muslim family, and he gave his heart to the Lord about 16 years ago, and from that time they've been seeking to kill him. So he moved away from there. He lives in Nairobi. And once in a while he sneaks out and sees the family, then comes back. And that's kind of the situation that we are having. Otherwise, Kenya, Africa is open for the gospel. And we thank God for that. Now, if my English is different, please bear with me. It's a bit different, I know, from yours. So let's forget about Kenya. Let's look unto the Lord. The book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. I'll read from verse 12b. And it says, "And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." Lord, we thank you as we look unto you this morning. We pray for the Spirit of revelation in your word. Open our hearts, open our ears, and cause us to hear what you have for us today. Lord, I pray that, Father, this will not just be another gathering, but it will be a gathering in your table. Feed us, your children. Meet us at the point of our need. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The story of David is very interesting, and it begins in a very interesting manner. And as you follow this particular story from the time of anointing up across the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see the climax of God's mind for him. But it all begins from here. And you know, we are just scanning through to point out a few thoughts that I feel the Holy Spirit wants us to receive this morning. First of all, the story begins with the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel. Sometimes when we think about God, we kind of put him in a box, or sometimes we want to limit him to our own understanding. The Lord who is speaking in this particular time, if you look at the biblical explanation about him, first of all, we see God the Almighty. He is the all-powerful one. He has all the power in heaven and on earth. He holds everything in the power of his hand. He can do with power all what power can do. He's able to create and he's able to destroy. He has all the power. The second thing that we see when you look at the Bible, the Word of God, is that God is everywhere present. He is here today, now, as we worship him, as we look unto him. And we can sense his presence as we gather and as we reflect and we focus our hearts to him, even as the Word of God tells us that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. As we surrender our hearts to him, we can sense his presence. He is here now as he is there right now. He is here. Right now in Kenya, it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So many time zones. He is there now. And there's a beautiful thing about this that David saw when he asked himself, where is it? Where can I hide from your presence? And he said, if I took wings to fly away, far away from what is known to man, he said, you are there. If I dug a hole and hid myself where no man can see, you are there. He is everywhere present. Sometimes in our lives, as we work, as we do whatever we do, in our working place, in our families, as human beings, we may feel forsaken. We may feel the Lord is about a million miles away from us. But that's not true. He is there. He is with us. The command of Jesus, whenever he gave his commandment to go out to preach the gospel, he said, and lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. The further explanation to this is what David says again in the book of Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How many times do we feel like we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death? And at that particular time, we don't even think that he is there. He is with us. He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So the Lord is everywhere present. And the other picture about our God is all-knowing. He knows everything. There is no university that God needs to graduate. Harvard is nothing. The educational systems of this world are nothing. Can I tell you about him? He has, in the eternity past, known what he will know in the eternity future to come. And that's what he told Jeremiah. He speaks to Jeremiah and tells him, arise. I want you to take this direction. Then Jeremiah says, I don't know. I cannot even speak. I am so shy. I can't make it. And then God rebukes him, tells him, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were formed, before the marriage of your parents, I knew you. I knew your frame, and I knew your weakness. I knew your problems. And in the eternity past, I have already solved those problems. I have already dealt with them. You rise up and walk in my path. So this God, who is all-knowing, who is everywhere present, and who is all-powerful, calls, looks in the house of Jesse, and he sees David, a known person, not acknowledged, just a shepherd boy, right in the field, and tells Samuel, arise, go to the house of Jesse, and I will show you. And even Samuel, as a human being, whenever he saw a big person, he said, that must be the one. And God said, no, there is a person that I want to work with. There is an individual that I want to lift up my purpose in him. Finally, David comes, and David is anointed to become the king. You see, that story begins in a very, very strange manner. Can you become a king when there is already one? And it's already made known that there is a king in Israel, and his name is Saul. Little did David know that God was going to take him through some stages before he can come there. Three things, and I'll be sitting down shortly. Three things, three areas. One, God called David at home. He began with him, together with his brethren. That was a place of calling and a place of anointing. The place of calling. Do you know God calls us from our homes? I'm not just talking about our physical homes, but from there, where we say there is a relationship between me and God, he begins there by calling us to himself. Come unto me, learn of me. The greatest call of God in our lives is not even to go out and preach. It's to have a relationship, to learn the heart of God, to fellowship with him, to walk together with him. That is where God placed David. And beyond that call, God brought down the anointing. At home, a place of calling and a place of anointing. Whenever we begin to respond to the call of God in our lives, we begin to look at our inabilities. We begin to look at ourselves and see how weak we are. How can I make it? It's a long journey. It's difficult. The world cannot be able to understand. Whenever I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus about 36, 37 years ago, people around me, young people around me, asked me, how are you going to make it? It's difficult. How can you give your life to the Lord as a young man? Why don't you wait until you are old, when you have solved a few things, in quotes, and then now give your life to the Lord? No. He wants your life from the place of calling. And you may look at the long journey and many hills and many mountains ahead of you and say, with my strength, I am not going to make it. Then when we acknowledge that, then we begin to depend on the Lord's anointing. Samuel took up the oil and poured upon David. And the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The ability, the power to rise, the power to walk in the will and in the direction of God. Jesus says in the book of Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted. So, at home in a place of calling, there is also a divine enablement. And may I bring a word of encouragement to the house of God this morning. Where you feel weak in your life as a Christian, the Holy Spirit wants to help us. The Holy Spirit wants to quicken us, wants to give us strength. Yes, we can make it in the name of the Lord. Thank God the Bible says He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. At home, a place of calling, there's another area that we see. There is a place of family. Did you know that God called him right there in the midst of his brethren? And you know, it begins from there. One time I was a missionary in South Africa, some 3,000 miles away from home. And we tried to bring my family over. It was not possible. Then I told the people there, I told them, the greatest call for me is to minister to my family before I minister to you. So I have to go back home until the Lord says we move together with the family and we shall come back. Very, very important foundation. Because in the family, as we see in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, talks about husbands and wives. Talks about Jesus bringing in a loving leadership. Talks about the church bringing in a leadership of submission before the Lord. So that in the loving leadership and in the submission leadership, that the world around us may be able to see evangelism and leadership in the direction of God will begin from around us before we can be able to go out to the world. The other thing that we see in the life of David right there, and this is very difficult, is that David found a giant to kill. Sometimes when we have the call of God, I see this in Africa. I see people, for sure, the call of God upon them is so much. The hand of God is so heavy upon them. But they are not willing to go together with the Lord, step by step, to be built up and to be strengthened mentally and spiritually. And they boil out of the will of God sooner or later. Sometimes the Lord says, I know the thoughts I have for you, but before you get there, you have got to go through this. He found a giant to kill. And there was a struggle in the land of Israel. This Goliath stood and boasted, and many things that happened. You know the story. Saul could not make it. All his brethren could not make it. And David went out under the anointing and knowing the covenant relationship between him and God. And he killed the giant. What I want to say here is, friends, he may have killed the physical giants. That is one step. But then, in our lives, there are so many giants that God wants us to kill. We must come to a point where we overcome ourselves. We must come to a point of crucifying our flesh. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life that I live is not mine. I live the life of the Son of God. God wants us to kill our giants at home. Because if we don't, these giants will embarrass us along the way. And finally, in that first point, David found a king to serve. This was very difficult for David. He knows he has been anointed to be the king. And David goes out and he serves the king. Can you imagine? I like the drama team here. Can you try to dramatize? Or can you try to have a mental picture? There is a person here. He is serving a king and he knows, this is my throne. This is where I am supposed to be. And David did not accept shortcuts. He went through the journey. He served that king with faithfulness. So, number one, at home, there was a place of calling, a place of anointing, and a place of killing giants, and a place where he found a king to serve. Secondly, you can read this story in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Very interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 24. The same king that David was serving turned against him. After killing the giant, after dealing with the enemy of the people, the king did not appreciate. The king turned against him, and David had to flee for his life. I like what it says there in chapter 22. Okay, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22, please. Now listen to what it says here. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Now look at verse 2. Very interesting. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. And so he became a captain over them. What a place to be, in the caves of Adullam. There's so many caves, but let's just summarize them and call them caves of Adullam. I cannot imagine this man. Let's put it in the language that we understand here. God has called him. He has been able to walk with the Lord for a certain way. Now he becomes a pastor. And whom is he going to pastor? Those who are in debt, those who are discontented, and those who are in problems. And the Lord said, for now, that is going to be your army. You know, God has to bring us in a place of nothingness. Because if we think we can make it, then pride comes over. Then pride comes over and overtakes us. And we can begin to say, I did this, and I did that, and I went, and I came, and I shot. According to the Western movies. I came, I saw, I shot. I did it. There was no problem at all. That one, no problem. Hakuna matata. But God has to take us from there, where the I is finished. It is the Lord. There are times when I have been in situation in my life, and in our lives as a family, that I didn't feel like this is the right time. I felt so low. I felt like the whole world was sitting upon my shoulders. When I am looking for a person to come and help me, then somebody comes and says, Pastor, would you pray for me? And in that hour of want, the Spirit of the Lord brings life and it begins to minister to that individual. And then later on I hear these people giving a testimony. Oh, I thank God because I was in this situation and I didn't know what to do. I called my pastor. I wish he knew, because the problems that he thought were problems to him, matter of fact, that was nothing. I wish he knew. But you see, God has to take us through some experience. I like what Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 5, from verse 1. From verse 1 it says, therefore, that's a good place. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In the grace wherein we stand. The beginning point. We have peace with God in the grace wherein we stand. Verse 3. Not only so, changes the whole story again, but we glory in tribulation also. Verse 3. Knowing that tribulation works patience. God wants us to bring us in a place where we can patiently wait upon Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And a patience brings out experience. This is where testimony, a true testimony of our Christian life is formed. You look back and say, I didn't know what to do. God helped me. We did not know what to do as a family. God helped us. This is where we say, we tried the doctors. They failed, but God saw us through. This is where we say we didn't have money. We had nothing. God provided. Where we can be able to give a true testimony out of our hearts in experience, having experience together, having walked together with God, and dependence, being dependent on Him in every situation. One particular Sunday, in Kenya, this is about 21 years ago, we did not know what to do. We had no food in the house. We had nothing. Now, that is very common in Africa. It is not common for you here, maybe. We did not know what to do. The only thing that was left is some little tea leaves and some little salt. Sunday morning. And then my mind is working like a computer. What do I do? What do I go to tell people? What am I going to say? And I entered into many temptations. I'll talk about giving today. They will know how to support the servants of God. And I said no. The Lord said no. That time I went to preach from the book of Revelation. I'm not a good preacher from the book of Revelation. But as I shared and ministered unto people, I went outside to greet people. God bless you. Thank you. Let's meet again in the evening. And somebody comes and puts something in my hand. I didn't know how much it was. I didn't care. And I told the devil, You thought, my God has forgotten me. This is my lunch. I didn't care how much it was, and I did not want to look at it, put it down there, deep somewhere. Went at home and told my wife, this is lunch. And sure, it was just enough for us that particular time. Then I went up again in the evening. The evening I preached. This time I was a bit fired up. Finished preaching. Then I stood out there, greeted everybody, and lo, there was nothing. God is not religious. The way he works to you in your life, don't expect him to do the same. He is God. He is a God of variety. But I want to say that in the evening as we came back, it was about 7:30, just looking at each other. Okay, during the day the Lord provided. How about now? Going to about 8 o'clock in the evening. Our children were a bit younger at that particular time. And they are just looking and wondering what's going on. Today there is no cooking. And my mind this time was working faster than computer. So what am I going to do? Within a very short time, there was knock at the door. And this family decided to go shopping. And as they entered the door, I could not resist the temptation. Looked and there was bread. Looked and there was sugar. And there was a piece of meat. Went direct to the kitchen. And that evening we had a wonderful meal. God allows us to go in a situation for us to say, he is my provider. We can easily say, my God is my provider. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But it's another thing to be in a need and to see the provision of the Lord. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Because we know tribulation works patience, and a patient experience. The third thing he says, after experience, a character is formed in our lives. How we like to complain and murmur when we are going through situations. There is problem everywhere in the world. I think the world, right now, we are in the caves of Adullam. In your country and in our country. In Africa, Asia, and everywhere, there is problem. There is hopelessness. And I believe God is allowing a situation for us to turn. He's kind of turning us back to him. Let us not complain. Let us look unto him. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. Remember, he is all knowing. One time, I was sharing with this refugee from our neighboring country, Sudan. And then as I was telling him, you know, God cares about. And then he looked at me and said, Joseph, if he cares, what about the civil war in southern Sudan for 30 years? No peace. Does he care? Yes, he cares. Even when those situations happen, he is in charge. He is the boss. He knows the end from the beginning. And the Bible says he does not allow situations beyond us. What comes beyond us, he comes in to provide. Caves of Adullam. What an experience. But David went through. I have no time to talk about the third phase. But the third phase, you will see that in the book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 6, where the Bible says, and David ruled over Israel for about 7 years. Judah, 7 years. And then he ruled this other, he ruled the north in total for 40 years. So at the end of the day, the anointing which God spoke to Samuel about, that I have found a man after my own heart, it came to pass. David, at the end of the day, found himself in a place where God had intended for him to be. What a beautiful experience. When he looks back, he can be able to appreciate and say, thank you, Lord, you allowed me to go through that. Thank you, Lord, because you dealt with my personality. Thank you, Lord, because you saw the pride in me. And you dealt with my pride before. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come to a place where I can say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous in my eyes. God has provided for me. He brought him in a place of rule. Let me say one or two things here. When you talk about a place of rule, we are talking about the demonstration of God's power and ability in our lives over situation. Over anger. Rule over anger. Rule over our finances. Rule in our family. Allow the Lord to be Lord in us. Accept to go down. Accept what the Lord desires for us. So that the situations are not ruling us. We are there, seated, reigning and ruling together with Christ. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, and you he made alive, who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. He has quickened us. He has made us alive. And in verse 6 of the same chapter, he says, he has now made us to sit together with him. He has raised us up together to sit together with him in the heavenly places. Where is this place? A place of rule. God, the word of God also says in the same book, I think chapter 1, he says God has raised him above principalities and powers and dominion. He has brought him in a place of authority. And this is where God wants to bring us spiritually, to be over, where we can say together with David, the Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. You are working a work in me. And even when the enemy comes in with his agenda to steal, to kill, and to destroy, yet you bring out your plan in me. First of all, to destroy the works, the plans of the enemy, and to lift me up. In other words, in his wisdom and his knowledge, he is working in us to bring his purpose in our lives. May I say here, body of Christ, the economic crunch in your country has also affected us, has affected the whole world. But besides that, God is the boss. Jesus is Lord. Let us look unto him. Let us be focused on him, because he knows the end from the beginning. Father, we thank you this morning. And how I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that Lord God, you help us in the place of your calling upon our lives. In a place of anointing in our lives, Heavenly Father, that we shall be dependent on you entirely. And even Lord God, when we come to the caves of Adullam, when there is a time of trial, temptation and shaking in our lives, that God, you will help us to be focused on you, to look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Father. I pray that, Father, you bring us in a place of rule, to rule over our desires, to rule over our situation in you. Thank you, Father. We honor your name and we bless you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.